Grace be unto you and peace from the Word of God incarnate, our only source of true light, our only source of true wisdom, the God who now guides us and directs us through the power of His holy Word. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the things that I had to learn the hard way is that if you want to get a job done right, you need to make sure that you're using the right tool. That truth applies in a variety of situations, no matter whether you're working on your car or working on a lake house. A number of years ago, I decided that I wanted to start replacing the siding on the lake house that we inherited from my mom and my dad. After quite a bit of convincing, I got my brother Mike, who is an excellent woodworker, to agree that we would just do the two sides where there was a deck to stand on. I also promised him that if I bought all of the materials, and if I took off all the old siding, and if I got all the new siding stained and ready to go, would he be willing to come up and help me put the siding on? After he agreed, I looked at him and I said, "Okay, now how do I get the old siding off?" He said, "It's actually quite simple. The siding is in 4x8 sheets." And so he said, you take a crowbar and you put it in the seam between two sheets of siding. You pry one away from the house and then you just grab a hold of it and pull it off. Easy peasy. Until I actually tried to do it. The next summer, I went up to the lake house to try and get this job done, and I did exactly as my brother told me. I took the crowbar, I put it in between the seam on the pieces of siding, and I pried one out. I grabbed a hold of it with both hands, and I pulled. Nothing. So I repositioned myself so that I could pull with all my might. And I grabbed a hold and I pulled as hard as I could. Still, nothing. I tried to use the crowbar to get the nails out. That did not work. Then I got a wood chisel and I chiseled around the head of the nail so that I could use a hammer to pull the nails out. That did work. But it was painstakingly slow. I knew that there was no way I would ever get the old siding off before Mike came up that following weekend. So I went into town, went to the lumber yard, and told the guy behind the counter what I was trying to do. He looked at me and he said, "What you need, son, is a crow's foot," which I was told after the service in Petaluma is also known as a cat's paw. And I looked at him and I said, "Okay, what's a crow's foot?" And he said, "Follow me." He took me to the aisle where there were all different kinds of crowbars and hammers and tools displayed on the wall. Then he reached up and he took down what looked like a miniature modified crowbar. And he said, "This, son, is a crow's foot." It was about 10, 12 inches long, and it had a claw on the end of the handle. And then where it curved, there was another claw. But in that L-shaped curve, there was also a flat spot. And he said, "You just position this over the head of the nail, and then you take a hammer and you drive it in, and then push on the handle, out comes the nail." So I bought one. I took my crow's foot and I went back to the lake house and I did exactly as I was told. And guess what? It worked. I was finally able to get the job done because I finally had the right tool. When you want to get a job done right, my friends, you need to make sure that you have the right tool. Just as that truth applies in a variety of situations in our world today, so also that truth applies when it comes to the work of the church. But what tool do we need to use in order to get the work of the church done correctly? Our text for today reminds us that there is only one tool to use when we want to do the work of God's church correctly. For that reason, let's study our text for today under the theme, "The Word Works." The only tool we need, my friends, is the holy, inspired Word of our God. As we study this text, we want to see two things. First of all, let's see that the Apostle Paul was absolutely convinced of that truth. And then, let's see that you and I need to be just as convinced of that truth today. Last week, we mentioned that the city of Corinth was a very large, a very important, and a very cosmopolitan city. At the same time, the ancient city of Corinth was a magnet for philosophers and for professional orators. Intellectual arguments and sophisticated rhetoric was highly valued in this ancient city. The Corinthian Christians were undoubtedly well acquainted with the eloquence and the intellectual abilities of all the professional traveling preachers that would come through town. And then there was the Apostle Paul. As someone who had received an extremely excellent education, as someone who was an inspired apostle of the crucified and risen Christ, Paul could undoubtedly hold his own when it came to the best of the orators in Corinth. But that was not Paul's goal, was it, my friends? Nor was it his standard operating procedure. Look at what Paul tells us in the opening portion of our text. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Even though Paul could have undoubtedly used eloquent words, even though the Apostle Paul could undoubtedly speak with superior wisdom, at least humanly speaking, he consciously chose not to do so. Why? Because Paul had just that one goal, my friends. Paul did not go to Corinth so that he could debate philosophy with others. Paul did not go to Corinth so that he could teach the Corinthians what they could do in order to improve themselves and make themselves a better person. No. Paul went to Corinth to proclaim the testimony about God. Paul went to Corinth to proclaim God's holy inspired word in all of its fullness, both law and gospel. Paul went to Corinth to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. But why? Why did this highly educated, inspired man speak to the Corinthians in weakness and fear and with much trembling? Because Paul knew, my friends. Paul knew that on his own, he had absolutely nothing to offer the Corinthians. Paul knew that there was no amount of intellectual prowess, no amount of slick talk, no amount of creative presentations that he could use to help the Corinthians prepare themselves for eternity. Paul knew that as he shared the testimony about God, he needed to consciously take a step back and get out of the way so that he could focus the Corinthians on the power of God the Holy Spirit as he works through the power of his holy inspired word. And guess what? It worked. For 18 months, Paul trusted in the power of God's word to work in the hearts of the Corinthians. For 18 months, Paul saw how God's word led the Corinthians to recognize their sin, to repent of their sin, and then to trust in Jesus Christ and him crucified for the forgiveness of their sins. The word works, my friends. The Apostle Paul was absolutely convinced of that truth. We need to be just as convinced of that truth today. In many ways, the area in which you and I live, the area in which our congregation exists, is very similar to the ancient city of Corinth. Intellectual knowledge and now technological ability is highly valued and well compensated. Sometimes differing and even conflicting philosophies are all but given an equal foothold as long as it does not come from Scripture. Even we think that if only we would change, if only we would change our style of worship, if only we would change some of the things that we believe, teach, and confess, if only we would change, you fill in the blank, then our congregation would grow. But we need to remember that if we allow ourselves to fall into the trap of focusing on ourselves, what we do, and how we do it, we would easily become no different from so many Christian churches today who emphasize social issues, political causes, and helping a person to feel good about themselves, no matter what they believe, and no matter what or how they are living their life. Does this mean that we do not need to be concerned about striving for excellence, whether it's in our worship services, the hymns that we sing, the sermons that are preached, or the Bible studies that are offered? Not at all. What it does mean is that, like Paul, we need to remain fully convinced in our heart that the Word works because God, the Holy Spirit, is working through the Word. The Word works, my friends. Why is that truth so very important for us to remember? It's important because of what Paul says in the closing words of our text, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. If we were to base our faith on the ever-changing wisdom of this world, our faith will fail us. If we were to base our faith on the personality or the preaching style of a particular pastor, our faith will fail us. If we were to base our faith on what we feel is right and what we feel is wrong, our faith will fail us. But when we base our faith on the power of God, as it comes to us through His holy inspired word, our faith cannot and will not fail us because our God cannot and will not fail us. When we base our faith on the power of God as it comes to us through His holy inspired word, then no matter what storms we encounter as we journey through this world, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear because our faith is based on a rock solid foundation. What you need, son, is a crow's foot. That simple statement reminded me of the truth that if you want to get a job done right, you need to make sure that you are using the right tool. As true as that is in the world around us, my friends, it is even more true when it comes to the work of God's church. The work of God's church has always been focused on that one central goal, the goal that is beautifully summarized in Paul's words, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." The Word works. May the good Lord help us to not only remember that truth, but may the good Lord help us to always strive to put that truth into practice. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.